Welcome to the Mechanic Falls Vineyard Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Dick Ray. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit mechanicfallsvineyard.com.
2017. I mean, these are just a few things. God is a faithful God, isn't he? He's merciful and kind and gracious. And what happens as we hear these stories, we're also recognizing that it's not always smooth sailing, is it? There's ups and downs. There's the peak experiences, and then there's the dark valleys. And there's something about God's goodness that is just as true in the dark of night as it is in the light of day. And taking a moment and just sharing some of those things, I think, is something that I want to touch upon a little bit more this morning. We've been doing a series leading up to Christmas, the Advent series, and talking about the gifts that Jesus has brought to humanity, the gifts that he's brought to us. Spent some weeks talking about how he brought to us and to this world the gift of hope, that there is hope now because of him and his kingdom, and even hearing some of the stories that it creates greater expectancy for hope. He is a God who brought us peace. He brings us the peace that passes understanding so that you can go through a storm and be having an assurance of his goodness to carry us through. Doesn't mean there aren't any trials or tribulations. It just means we have the Prince of Peace who comes and actually can transform the situation. Spend some time talking about he is the one who brings joy, the gift of joy. He's the most joyous being in the universe. We cannot exaggerate the goodness of God that brings joy, and the whole heavenly realm is one that is filled with joy. And the reason we have it is because of the strength we have in him. The joy of the Lord becomes our strength. There is this power that we find that has come with him, and then that we finished up with love. The word that we use in so many ways, various ways, we sometimes diminish the word, you know, I love cheesecake. Be careful, though. It results in things. And God brings a love that transforms our lives. It's wooed our hearts and brought us into a relationship with him. And as we went through the Advent series, talking about those gifts are things that are given by the Lord, but like any gift, it has to be received, and it actually has to be opened. Any of you have any unopened Christmas gifts still at your house? If you prepared a nice gift and gave it to someone and they would say, oh, thank you, and set it aside and didn't open it, wouldn't you be a little crestfallen? It's like, well, wait a minute, I got that for you. Gifts are to be received and opened, and the gifts that Jesus offers to us, we have the option of having as much hope as we desire, as much peace as we want, as much joy as the Lord offers to us. We have the option as much as we wish to embody in our lives, and the same thing with love. They are free gifts that are given. On our end, we get to receive it. And this morning, I just want to take a little bit of time and look at another aspect, and we'll finish this out. One of the things that the Lord has given to us is a gift of transformation. Can I tell you, one thing that has really fueled my journey with Jesus more than anything is to understand and realize that my life can be different. That I do not have to live an existence the way I am now. There is the gift that the Lord offers to me to see my life transformed into something greater, something different. We have a saying at the Vineyard early on when we planted the church. We tell people, hey, come as you are, you'll be loved. And over time, we tweaked that a little bit. We said, come as you are, but for God's sake, don't stay that way. If you're going to have an encounter with Jesus, understand that one of the things he offers to us is the ability to have a transformed life. And what I'd like to do this morning, I want to talk about that a little bit, and hopefully that our hearts would be much like the hearts of children on Christmas morning who have great expectancy for a gift, that we would have a renewed and stirred expectancy for greater transformation in our lives. That the Lord, who is gracious and kind, desires to take us into places where our lives are actually transformed more and more into his likeness. This is a great time of year to do it. The last day of 2017. The media has been filled with the year 2017, year in review. Have you seen some of those? It's on television. Throughout the media, it's been the year in review, and they're going through. I mean, you jump on the internet, and you know the greatest YouTube videos for 2017, the best bloopers for the year, people we've lost in 2017, famous people, and there's all these things in this year in review. I got to get away from this. And it's all building up to this point, though, now to start looking forward. Oh, here comes the new year, 2018. This is when we make New Year's resolutions. And a number of years ago, I made a New Year's resolution. And my New Year's resolution was I was not going to make any more New Year's resolutions. I thought, you know what, this is easy. I'm not going to frustrate myself by setting a goal, set a standard. You know, the number one resolutions are to do what? Diet, lose weight, exercise more, right? And we set those, you know, we buy the Thighmaster 2000. And then, you know, then it's on Craigslist 3 months later at a third the price we paid for it. There's a great Christian comedian who talks about, you know, going on diet. He says, you know, his wife bought him rice cakes. He says, you ever eat one of those things? The word cake doesn't come to mind. But it's one of our goals, right? We're going to change. And I reached a point where I said, you know what? I just don't want to make any more New Year's resolutions. And I had this time with the Lord. It was really kind of just, it was one of these ones where he kind of just nudged me a little bit. And he said, so Dick, you want to stay the way you are? And it really caught my attention. Because if we have a God who desires to continually transform our lives, when I came to a point and said, I'm fine the way I am, I don't have to make any resolutions for change and transformation, I was basically saying to the Lord, hands off my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for healing some of those real important areas in my life. But you know what? I'm okay. I'm good. I'll continue on for now. And he really challenged me with this concept of, I know in the world we make fun of the New Year's resolutions, but I think it's something that's really big in the heart of God, that we would be a people who actually with expectancy look forward to the things God wants to do in our lives. And the whole concept of a resolution really embodies that desire to see our lives transformed. And the whole concept of taking a moment and looking in the past is sometimes very, very healthy for us in our journey. That I've come to realize that spiritual health is actually being able to have a good self-awareness of where my life is at. We all have blind spots, right? We all have blind spots in our lives. Sometimes when someone points it out to us, we get greatly offended. How dare you say that to me? But what they're doing is revealing something that we don't even see. And there is this process, I think, to grow more and more Christ-like actually requires us to take a moment and to do an introspection of our lives. And when we come to this, you know, here's the changing of the year, I think it's a great time for us to stop and say, okay, what was the last year like? What was in this 2017 in my life that I don't want to carry over to 2018? Is there something maybe within me, a character trait? Is there a fear? Is there a struggle? Is there a fractured relationship? Is there something that I had in 2017 that I really don't want to carry forth? I think honest introspection, again, is part of spiritual health, being able to look back in our lives in a way that is honest. That's what David, when David writes the Psalm 139, he says, search me, O God. He's saying to God, take a look inside of my life. Can I tell you, when he says that to God, it's not like God is unaware of what's in David's life. It's not like God saying, oh, really, David? You're giving me permission to look into your life? Okay, I will. Oh, myself, I didn't realize that was in there. Right? That's not the scenario. God sees all and understands all, not only in David's life, but all of ours. What David is saying, Lord, search me and reveal it to me. Let me know. Inform my heart. I tell you, I think God is so gentle and kind. He doesn't want us to remain the same way we are. He wants us to change, and sometimes it requires taking that moment with Him, doing that introspection of our lives. And sometimes I think we avoid going there because we're maybe regrets. Maybe looking back in our past lives, going back to this past year, going back sometimes looking, sometimes it brings up regrets. I don't know about you, but I carried regrets in my life. There was deep regret for things that I had done. And it wasn't just because I got caught, though that was part of it. The regret was actually for, oh God, you know, this is the way I was. I don't want that in me. I want to see my life changed. And can I tell you, the only way to navigate something like that is to know that we have a loving, forgiving, gracious God who desires to transform us. The world that does not have that relationship, people in the world who do not have that relationship with God like that, they don't want to look at anything in their life. They don't want, for them, regret means guilt, means shame. God's come to remove all of that. But for those who don't have that relationship with Jesus, it's like, I don't want to look at anything in my life. I'll look at stuff in your life, right? That's the big thing on social media now. I want to comment on everybody's life. Let me tell you what I think about you. Oh, who do you think you are? In our culture, it's very easy to look at others, but to look at ourselves tends to be something we get defensive, don't we? We get defensive. The walls come up. Well, you know, it's I'm blameless. It's not my fault of these things. We have that victim mentality. But can I tell you, there's this sweet thing about being able to come before Jesus and asking Him, Lord, what is in me? What has my life been like? How can this next year actually be different? How can you guide me? I mean, the Isaiah 9 scripture that we read coming into Christmas season, describing Jesus as a wonderful counselor. He's a wonderful counselor that we come to, and He says, let me talk to you, and let me tell you how your life can be changed. I think this is one of the things that is key to our spiritual journey, being able to look back. But here's the other part of being able to look ahead. Would you open your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 1? Ephesians chapter 1. I want to look at a letter Paul wrote to the church. And I think it has part of his prayer that we can easily appropriate for ourselves. Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 15, it says this. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Ethan, could you put that up here? There's an excerpt. There's a part in the middle I want to focus on. When Paul's writing to the church, he starts out with this prayer. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Can I tell you, one of the things I've learned in my journey is nothing will fuel my growth as a follower of Jesus more than having a greater revelation of who he is. Here's Paul's prayer. I'm praying that you would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. There are some things in this life that we only learn by revelation from God. There's a big difference between wisdom and knowledge, right? You've probably heard that. Knowledge knows that, tells you that a tomato is fruit. Wisdom says, don't put it in a fruit salad. There's a big difference between knowledge and wisdom. He's saying, I'm asking for wisdom, not just head knowledge. And it's the wisdom that comes from above. There's this revelation. When Jesus was with his disciples at one time, he asked them, he says, who do the people say that I am? And they were offering various answers. You know, something, you're John the Baptist, come back, you're Elijah, this and that. And then he says, who do you say that I am? Peter says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered to him, he says, Peter, he says, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. He's saying, you did not receive knowledge, you received heavenly wisdom. You received revelation. And he says this to him, and he says, and upon this I will build my church. You know how the church gets built? You know how this church gets deeper roots and how we get built and established? It's greater revelation of who God is. Revelation from above. And he says, why? So that you may know him better. Revelation to know him, but it's not just to know him. It's to know what he wants to do in our lives. And it continues here. I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened and that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. He says, I want you to have revelation, not only of who he is, to know him better, but I want you to know what he has for you. This is what he has for you, a glorious future. He has a great inheritance for you, and he has power available to transform your life. He says, if you grasp these, if you have revelation of that, this journey becomes one of expectancy, of saying, Lord, I just finished 2017, and it was an okay year. Man, there were some high points, there were some good points, there were some awesome things that happened. There's a few things, I'm so glad they didn't come to light. My buttons got pushed and some of my character traits came out. Man, I wish I could change some of those things. But Jesus, you said the Father's always working, and so are you. So I have hope. I have an expectancy that there is something that you have for me. This glorious inheritance, this great power to see my life transformed. This is the business that God is in. He's into transforming our lives. He rescues us. He pulls us from darkness. He sets us on solid ground. And he says, now, let me work on you. Let my presence come upon you. Let me give you greater and greater revelation of what I want to do in your life to have you shaped and formed to become the one I've called you to be. Can you put up Isaiah 61? Isaiah 61, it goes through, it talks about the coming of the Messiah, and this is what he'll do. Get the exchange here. He is the God who wants to comfort those who mourn. He says, you're mourning? Let me give you comfort instead. Provide for those who grieve. Bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. In the Old Testament times, when people were in tough places, they covered themselves in ashes, sackcloth and ashes. It was a woe is me. You know, calamity would strike. They'd dump ashes. And it was like, oh, woe is me. And here's the picture. Messiah says, I want to give you beauty instead of ashes. I want to do this exchange in your life. I love the word instead. The oil of joy instead of mourning. See, you got mourning? You want to make an exchange? Let me give you some joy instead. The garment of praise instead of despair. See, this is the exchange life. This is the greatest Yankee swap you will ever get a part of, right? Jesus looks and says, oh, let's see, you've got mourning, grieving, ashes, some more mourning, and some despair. I've got comfort, crown of beauty, the oil of joy, and a garment of praise. You want to trade? Yeah, I think I'll take that. We all get last pick. We all get last pick in his kingdom. This is who he is. This is God says, I want to exchange. I want to trade. I want to see your life shaped and formed. So there's more joy and freedom. And the rest of that Ephesian scripture says, and not only in this age, but the age to come. It's not just for when I die, physically die, and I'd leave this planet. Oh, phew, then I'm going to have some of this stuff. He says, no, I do it now. I do it in advance. Can I tell you, I love this time of year to be able to go through and say, yeah, that was 2017, but Lord, what do you have for me this year? What's next? What is this expectancy that you're putting in me for something that's new that you're holding out, that you're offering? There's this dynamic of journeying, I find, journeying with Jesus, where we come to this place, when we have that expectancy for the greater things, it actually puts us in a position to actually receive it. And countering to Jesus is to change our lives. I was reading through the Christmas accounts, the Gospels, and there was the Matthew account of Jesus' birth that's different than Luke. Matthew has the story of the three magi, the three wise men who come to visit baby Jesus. And essentially the story is they're living out in Persia, modern-day Iran, Iraq, and this is they see a star, and there's somehow in some holy books there's this thing about following the star. There's going to be a king there, and as they journey, they come to Jerusalem. They come into Jerusalem, and they say, "Where is your king to be born?" And they go through the scriptures, the Jewish scriptures, and they say Bethlehem. So he's talking to King Herod, and Herod says, "Oh yeah, go find this Messiah, and after you find him, let me know." And it says that they went and visited and they presented their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But there's this great ending to that, and you can read it. It's in Matthew, I think it's chapter 2, verse 12, says this, "And after they'd given the gifts to Jesus, they were warned in a dream not to return the way they had come." And I read that, and it just jumped out at me. Would you just grant me a little liberty here. I read that passage and I felt the Lord said, "Dick, when you encounter me, you just can't go back the way you came, can you? You can't return to the old ways, can you? Once you've encountered me, there is no turning back. There is no walking the same path, walking the same path that I did before." He says, "No, you're going to take a different route. You're going to go a different way." And I think there's this understanding that when we encounter Jesus, that a change should happen in us so much that we welcome the newness. We welcome the change that's to happen in our lives. And whenever we come into worship him, there should be some transformation that happens. It's an interesting passage came across in Ezekiel chapter 46. Any of you can look at it later yourself. Very interesting, and it was prescribing what worship was to be like in the temple. And can I tell you, when God writes stuff in the Bible, sometimes it's symbolic. He's saying, I'm going to give you a symbol for something. Throughout the Old Testament, the Passover lamb was symbolic of Jesus coming. There were so many things that were symbolic of other things. And he prescribes how the worship should happen. And he prescribes it a certain way. And it says this, "And when the people come before the Lord at the appointed feast, whoever enters by the north gate to worship is to go out the south gate. And whoever enters by the south gate is to go out the north gate. No one is to return through the gate by which he entered, but each is to go out the opposite gate." Now I read that and I thought, geez, God could get a job at Disney World. you know, they could use a little help there. It gets pretty confusing there. You know, God, you're really good at directing traffic into Jerusalem, into the temple and out. But I think it goes beyond that. I think he's saying, you know what? I think he's symbolically saying, whenever my people come in to worship me, you're going to leave different. You're going to go out a different way. You're not going to go out the same way you came in. Folks, can I tell you, this journey with Jesus is one I think is supposed to be fraught with expectancy, filled with this desire to, God, give me revelation of who you're making me to be. I don't want to walk out the same way. I want to be fully engaged with all the new things you have. I mean, that's what Jesus did wherever he met someone. He said, come follow me. I got something different for you. I mean, Levi, the tax collector, he encounters Levi and says, follow me. Levi ends up, I mean, he's also called Matthew. He writes the whole gospel of Jesus. His life got transformed. He calls the fisherman and says, follow me and I'll make you something different. He says to the rich young ruler, you know what, sell your stuff, come follow me, and I'll make you something different. That guy didn't go with it. And we never learned his name and didn't find anything about him. Can I tell you, God's in the business of transforming our lives. He invites us into this place, and he says, you know what, I want to change and give you an expectancy for something new. Isaiah 43, last scripture, and then we're going to pray. Isaiah writes this. He says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. The word dwell actually means don't pitch a tent there. Do you have regrets? Don't pitch a tent there. Do you have some struggles? Don't pitch a tent there. You have a broken relationship? Don't pitch a tent there. You have some sin that got caught up and there's consequences of that and it's being played out. He says, don't pitch a tent there. Don't dwell on these things. See, I'm doing a new thing. Even now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. See, this is the God we serve. He calls us with his expectancy to see our lives totally transformed. And when he brings us into that place where our hearts are expectant, that's when things happen. So I want to just ask you a couple questions, and then we're going to pray. 2017's ending as of midnight tonight. What would you like to leave behind? Don't point to anybody. What would you like to leave behind? Is there something in 2017 you say, I don't want this being played out in 2018? Ask God to remove it. Ask God to change it. What is it in 2017 that you do not want to return to? Again, is it a broken, fractured relationship? Is it a habit of sin? I've come to realize that, and bear with me with this, I know sin really deals with a heart issue, and sometimes as we struggle, oh God, change my heart, change my heart, change my heart, which we should do. Sometimes he requires us to change our habits, which will change our heart. Sometimes, oh God, change my heart, change my heart, change my heart. He goes, change your habits and I will change your heart. Change the food you eat spiritually and I will change your heart. Is there something that we're saying, I don't want to carry that into the next year. Lord, I'd love to see that gone from me. Ask him for it. Be intentional about it. But more importantly, do the second part too. But God, what is it that you have for me that is new? What is it that you are setting out before me that springs up before me even now that, Lord, I want to embrace and I want to say yes to? I want to walk out the fullness that you have for me. And can I tell you, God has been gracious. 2017, I mean, hearing some of the stories, and I know there's more out there. God has been good to us, and he wants to continue to be good to us. The children of Israel, for years, God was good to them while they were wandering in the wilderness. God did things to them. He told Moses, just hold up the staff and the water will part. You'll cross the Red Sea. He made manna fall from heaven. He made quail, birds, fall from heaven. Water come out of rocks. God was good to them. He did things to them. When they came time into the go into the promised land, God says, now I want to start doing things through you. Not just to you, but through you. You stand in the water, and I'll stop it. You march around Jericho, and you shout, and you blow the trumpets, and the walls will fall. For some of you, God has been good to you. This year, God wants to be good through you. He wants to pass on to others. And in that realm, look with expectancy for 2018 for everything the Lord's going to do. Can we stand?
Yes. Second, third grade teacher.
So I'm going to ask again, just close your eyes for a minute. What do you want to leave behind in 2017? What is it you don't want to return to? What's some of the old ways you go, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to go there. I don't want that character thing to pop up. That sarcasm, that shortness, that impatience with others. I don't want that, Lord. The part of me that gets critical or judgmental, Lord, I don't want that anymore. That habit of mine, Lord, I want to leave that one behind. God is a God of exchange. Now think of the opposite of that. What would you love God to do in 2018 in you? What is it you would love in this adventure that he would bring you to? What's this expectancy that would stir for the new thing he wants to do? Ask him for it. I want to take a moment. I want to take a moment and do some specific prayer. I was praying this morning, and not because I'm more spiritual, it's because I couldn't sleep. I got up and put some more wood in the fire and sat in the chair and just said, okay, God, what do you got going? And he just started sharing some things with me that I think I was supposed to share this morning. And he pointed out just a few specific things that I think may be prophetic words for some. So I'm going to go with it. First of all, the Lord showed me that there were going to be some people here. get this, it was checked shirts, which probably is more so guys, and I'm looking around, and it's like there's checked shirts, like, all over the room. So if you've got a checked shirt, this was for you, and Nate, actually, I saw it more like yours, the black and white checked. But if this fits for any of you, you can jump in on it. I felt the Lord was saying that he wanted to, in 2018, he wanted to bring you into a season where there would actually be more nighttime visitations. Nighttime visitations, in that it was going to be almost like a rediscovery of his goodness, and for you to actually be prepared for it. And again, if some of you, if you had got, I have a check shirt, or if like, hey, if I own a check shirt and I want it, claim it for yourself. I mean, it works, but I want to go with this one specifically, that I really felt the Lord saying that in 2018, he's going to bring you into a season where there's going to be more and more of that revelation. And sometimes the seeking we do for the Lord is for the short term. Lord, do I do this or do I do this? I need to make a decision about this. And I felt his revelation wasn't going to be like, you know, I'm going to give the quick answer for these things. He was talking about, I want to give revelation of who I am and of a long-term journey. He's going to reveal some long-term stuff. And it was going to be through dreams and visions. He was going to speak these things out. And it was going to be a really sweet time. So, Nate, do you have prophetic dreams? Do you dream? And the dreams are for his glory. Some of you want to gather around, just lay hands on them. Holy Spirit's just doing something there. I don't know your name. I've never met you. The tall gentleman with the zip up who just looked up at me. Yeah, you. What's your name?
Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. I'm Dick. The Lord actually showed me what someone would look like. A taller person. Someone with a beard. And for me just to watch for him. And this is kind of the picture I saw, was just a huge belt. Like there are things going on and you're trying to like hold it all together. And I felt the Lord wanted you to know that as you're kind of laboring to, how do I hold this all together, that he has a plan to hold it together. And part of the picture was even you trying to plan on how do I do this and hold it together. I don't know if this is important or not, but it was almost, I saw it like a hand with a pencil drawing on paper. Like I'm trying to come up with a plan to work this out. And in that, the Lord gave, it was a proverb. It's Proverbs 21:30. It says this: there is no wisdom, no insight, or no plan that can succeed against the Lord. And it's a word of reassurance that when the Lord establishes the plan, there's nothing that can come against it. That there is no wisdom, worldly insight, no worldly plan that can succeed once the Lord establishes his plan. And I think he's going to give you that spiritual wisdom that may even go counter to what even people are advising you to do. And it's counter to logic. I see you nodding. Does this make sense? Okay. It's counter. It's like it's counter to worldly law, logic and knowledge. And the Lord's saying, I'm going to devise this for you. And it's going to be like the belt that's going to hold the things together that are starting to fray. They're starting to fray and fall apart, and it's of great concern to you. And he says, I'm going to pull it together. So I guess people can just gather around and we're going to pray. So anyone, Jerry, you're wearing yellow. If you're someone wearing yellow, and it was really simple, that you're on a journey, your ticket's been punched, something has been thwarted in the past where you've attempted something, it didn't happen, attempted something, it didn't happen. And the Lord said, you're not going to miss this one. I saw like a train. He says, you're not missing this one. You're actually going to catch this one. The ticket's already been punched. The tickets don't get punched until you're ready to actually go. And so I have no idea what that means. You do? Okay. Long as you and Jesus understand that. It's meant to be encouraging. Is it encouraging for you that that's going to happen? Okay, well, we're gonna pray that one. And I had two others, bear with me. Anybody have Italian roots? I don't mean hair, I mean genealogy, Italian roots. Have you been doing any genealogy in researching that? Do you have a grandmother, obviously?
Italian, born in Italy.
Okay, your grandmother.
Yeah.
I felt the Lord said that there's going to be someone here with Italian genealogy, Italian descent, and that there were traits in your grandmother who's actually quite a character. And there was parts of her traits that actually have come to you. And the Lord said there's something precious that is actually that was in your grandmother that's also in you. And he kind of brought me to Timothy where Paul says the things that were in your mother and your grandmother are also in you, Timothy. He just said those things in her are also in you, and it's part of a heritage, and you're to embrace it and to run with it. Did you know your gram?
Yeah, she was generous and had a gift of hospitality that I engaged in.
There you go. Okay. God's going to increase that, and it's going to be for his glory. You receive from. And last one, Joey, it was actually with you. Your grandparents, were they in ministry? Okay. Because it was just really basic. The Lord said that you're third generation, but you're doing an awesome job of building fourth generation. He wanted you to know that. You're building fourth generation. Don't take it lightly. It's actually a building. It's part of the plan of the Lord. Okay, can you gather around? Gather around and pray. Lay hands on. Let's just take a moment. I'm going to close on with that. If you had a word, raise your hand. So raise your hand, Joey, so people know. Gather around him. Gather around here. Gather around. I want to do a general prayer for all of us, and then we're going to... If you feel that God has something for you that you'd like prayer for, come on up. We got some people who'll pray for you prophetically. Danny, that check shirt dream is for you too. There's a rediscovery of some real sweet things that you enjoyed in the past. God's going to breathe life on again. Lori and Jim, you want to lay hands on Danny? Just pray some prophetic stuff over him. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Jesus, that you are a God who exchanges. We thank you that you're a God who always brings us from grace to grace and glory to glory. You have us on a path of greater increase, of the increase of your kingdom. There'll be no end, it was prophesied. Lord, let it increase in us. Lord, we ask this year that we would have a greater and greater expectancy for the things you want to do. Lord, we'd cry out for it. We'd ask for it. James says we have not because we ask not. Lord, we want to ask for the greater things that you want to do in our lives. Lord, we want to have encounters with you and be changed. We want to be different. We don't want to go back the same way we came. We don't want to walk in the same paths. Lord, we don't want to say, I've had enough, no more. Lord, we want to keep with a hunger in our hearts for more and more in you. In our lives. And Lord, we ask that 2018 would be a year where you'd not only do things to us, but you'd do them through us. And we'd bring glory to your name in all that we do. So Lord, let your Holy Spirit just minister to us now and carry us through on this journey until you bring us home to glorify you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be blessed. Stay warm. If you'd like some prayer, come on up and get some. If you're getting prayer, I just pray bold prayers. Pray bold prayers. Pray bold prayers.